hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. The coming of the Son of God and his teaching and fulfillment of the prophet's words was a wonderful thing, an awesome thing. It was a tremendous thing. And indeed, this is a message that we find in this word. Jesus Christ, to come to be the Savior for Jews and Gentiles alike, fulfilling the prophet's words, teaching this message to everybody, the apostles being strengthened by the Spirit of God, and yet there's a problem in regard to their clear understanding. And in Acts chapter 10, we read of a situation that occurs over in the city of Caesarea, and a man named Cornelius, and this involves Jesus the Christ. In Acts chapter 10, as we read along there, we'll find that this was a good man named Cornelius, a member of a band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, who gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him, saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms have come up before God for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. This man Cornelius was a Gentile. And Simon Peter, along with this summons that he was given, brought with him some six other Jewish men. As they approached the household of Cornelius in Caesarea, it is noted that about 4 days ago I was fasting, Acts 10 and verse 30, until this hour, and at the ninth hour prayed in my house, behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. This angel appeared as a man, and here is the speaking to him. Thy prayers heard, he said, and thine alms be buried in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside. And when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God. This is a momentous statement here in Acts chapter 10 and verse 33. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. What kind of spirit did this man Cornelius have? Well, I've done it this way all these years. There's no need for me to get in a hurry about sending for a man that I don't even know, Simon Peter. Besides that, he's in a far distant way. Besides that, he's in the household of a working man from the seaside. And besides all of that, I don't see any reason for it. That was not Cornelius' attitude. His attitude was, it's good that you obeyed what God told you to do. He says that to him. Notice in verse number 33. Immediately therefore I said unto thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. I was asked by this man to send for you because it was a message of God. It's good that you have come, Peter. And Peter had come for the purpose of telling him. Before they got in the household, Cornelius bowed down to worship him. He bowed down at his feet. To which Simon Peter said, Rise up, I also am a man. But I'm persuaded that in every nation, keep in mind that thought, in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness, not just in the Jewish nation, but in every nation, he that fears God and works righteousness is acceptable to him. quite a different scene in the account of Luke and the birth of Jesus Christ, isn't it? For the angels came and bowed before him. And the shepherds came and bowed before him. If we bow before one another as human beings, we make idolatry, in effect. Jesus was more than a human baby. And from the get-go, it was noted that. When our Lord Jesus in Matthew 15 and verse 9 said, "In vain do you worship me when you teach for doctrine the commandments of men," he was not telling those people at that day and time that I'm telling you something new. He was telling them the facts. And they kind of let it go by. They kind of didn't recognize what he said. That's the inaugural time that Jesus was telling this to the people in Matthew 15 and 9. Notice what he said again. "In vain do you Jewish people worship me when you teach for doctrine the commandments of men." What do you see there? You see that they're worshiping God. And he says, "You are worshiping me." He is of the Godhead. He is to be worshipped. He is to be praised. But they couldn't do that properly because they were honoring by the doctrines and commandments of men. And they needed to make changes in their lives in this way. Here in Luke chapter, or in Acts chapter 10, these men bow before Simon Peter. He tells them, "I rise up, I also am a man. I'm persuaded that in every nation, he that feareth God, worketh righteousness, is acceptable to him." And then he goes on to talk to them about what they are witnesses of. Notice in Acts 10 and 38. "God appointed Jesus of Nazareth, what about doing good? And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we're witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up from the dead and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even unto us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." While Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, those six Jewish men that had come with him, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. We see immediately when we read here the culmination of our lesson study tonight about the prophets, and how all the prophets spake regarding the coming of Jesus, and of how he fulfilled their predictions, and how being the Son of God, he was worthy of worship and praise, and how that now in Acts 10, he sends Simon Peter and these others to tell this message that he is the judge of the living and the dead. He's the judge of the Jews and the Gentiles. And he wants everybody to know this message of salvation. The Holy Spirit came down not to save them. The Holy Spirit baptism was a promise to be enjoyed by some. The apostles enjoyed that in Acts 2, and Peter speaks regarding that in verse 47, when he says, these receive the Spirit the same as we at the beginning. We did this when? Back yonder at the beginning. We received this back there at the early part, the day of Pentecost. And as a result of this, these people needed that same message. Notice that he commanded him to be baptized in water. If he had already been saved by the presence of the Holy Spirit, that would have been unnecessary. But he wasn't yet saved. It was a sign. A sign to Peter and the others among the Jewish people that accompanied him there. Hold back nothing from this man. Though he is a Gentile, teach him all the message of salvation. And that is exactly what Peter did. In Acts 11, we have an explanation that's given. Because you see, Simon Peter is going back home. And in regard to going back home and back to his regional area, he's going to go back and give an account of what took place. And Acts chapter 11, beginning of verse 15. And as I began to speak, he says, talking about going to the household of Cornelius, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? What happened to these people that heard this message? Verse 18 of Acts 11. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, God has granted repentance unto life unto the Gentiles. You may read the rest of your life in Acts chapter 10 and you will not read the word repent. But you read the message that was taught to them. And Acts 11, when it says there, verse 18, that these men, hearing all the report of what took place over there at the Gentile man's house, they said he repented unto life. What did he repent of? Well, he repented of the old patriarch law that he had been serving under. He had been offering his alms, and he was a good man and a religious man. And his prayers had come up as a memorial before God because of his great way of life. But he needed to send to Joppa for Simon Peter to tell him what he ought to do. He was not yet a saved man. He needed to be saved. A lot of our friends, I'm persuaded, a lot of our friends all around throughout this region are good Corneliuses. They're sincere, devout, religious people. They need this message. There's something that a good, devout, religious person needs yet to do. They need to believe in the Christ, Acts 10:43. They need to obey the command, Acts 10:48, of being baptized in water for the remission of their sins. And that is the message of Jesus Christ to Jews and Gentiles alike. He fulfilled the prophet's words. His resurrection from the dead has taken place. And tonight, as we sing a few words of encouragement in this good old hymn, it reminds any of us that have not yet been baptized into Christ that this is the time This is a place. And this is just a hope that the Lord wanted us to enjoy.